Senate Revenue Committee. Greetings to the diehards who are with us today. Jim, you just get added to that list of diehard Senate Revenueites. We're going to begin today with our public hearings that we're not taking testimony on. I understand on House Bill 2671, we have a couple in from Klamath Falls. So we will do your bill at about, I'm going to say about 1:30, if that works for you. So right about 1:30, we'll get to your bill. Thank you for coming up. No testimony on these bills. I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2152 and close a public hearing on House Bill 2152. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2187. Close a public hearing on House Bill 2187. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2589. Close a public hearing on House Bill 2589. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2671. Close a public...
Recess it.
You're gonna come back. Oh, that's right. Recess the public hearing on House Bill 2671. Good catch. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3062. Close a public hearing on House Bill 3062. Open a public hearing on HJM 5. Close a public hearing on HJM 5. And then open a public hearing on House Bill 2372. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2372.
Council told us on 2131, that's the Treasury bill, and Thursday has some conflicts, asked us to bring it back.
Is this the handout one?
It's the treasury one.
So it was in the one that everyone has, which is like showed up.
Okay.
So you can bring it back Wednesday and just add that conflict amendment and then spread it off.
Okay. Let's do Klamath Falls first. So open a public hearing on House Bill 2671, and we have a couple of folks who've come a great distance to be with us today, Mr. Sen and Mr. Kita. Wow, I was way off, but your senator gave me the note, so I'll...
Yeah, he forgets.
Afternoon. Thank you.
2671.
Please.
Thank you, Chairman Deckard, Senators, and thank you for seeing us on short notice, hearing us on short notice. We were up here earlier with Senator Harper, and I understand he arranged this at the last minute, so we very much appreciate it. My name is Trey Sen. I'm the director of the Klamath County Economic Development Association, and with me is Andrew Studley with the Klamath Lake Economic Development District. We have been working for some 2 years with People's Energy out of Chicago for a power generation plant that would be some $600 to $800 million of investment in the lower Klamath County area. It is power generation, not unlike some that have gone on, that are currently being built and have been built, including the Klamath cogeneration facility that is already has already been completed in Klamath Falls and very successfully. House Bill 2671, among other things, would enhance and modify requirements for eligibility for long-term non-urban enterprise zone and tax incentives. And basically, the biggest one is in a rural county such as Klamath, the bar was perhaps a little too high with the job creation. And this would still require a substantial investment of monies, but would also reduce the requirement for full-time employees. The full-time employees at this facility would be estimated at around 30, and they would make some average salary of about $80,000 a year. So in a very small community in the Bonanza area of Klamath County, this is still a substantial investment. And power generation, of course, is something that is needed and will be needed again even more so.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
A few words. The one thing that has impressed me about people's energy and the due diligence they've done on this project is their concern for natural resources and things of that nature. They have really played their role in investigating how they will impact the area. And when we have a major power line and a major gas line in a rural area of Oregon, it's the perfect fit for that area. And we need to show these people when funds are tight that we can, you know, help them out in these type of ways, which House Bill 2671 will do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
I guess, you know, I appreciate the fact that you have what appears to be clawback provisions, 20 full-time employees at 150% of the county average wage. Why is there not a time clawback provision as well? In other words, the how often do they have to meet that standard? Is that every year for the exemption?
I would have to find out that from somewhere, some other person. I'm not, the particulars of it I'm not aware of. I'm sorry, sir.
That's my only concern. Is I don't have a real problem with these enterprise zones. I don't think they're that beneficial, but given that they're, you know, giving away money, it seems that if we had some clawback provisions, for instance, on Sony in Eugene or in Springfield, that they may have had to pay back some money from all the profits that they made for the period of time they were there because they didn't ultimately comply with the time requirements that they produce X amount of jobs for X amount of years.
How long was Sony and Eugene for?
I don't know. Art, what do you think? Maybe 6-7 years?
Yes. They were exempted for like 5 years out of maybe 8 years that they were there.
And, I mean, there's the story about the Philips Electronics company that, you know, closed down and moved all their equipment and work on the day that their tax exemption finished up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I mean, this just happened. This was news along with the Sony story, one of the press books.
Chairman Deckard, gentlemen. Maybe this wouldn't be as much of a concern here because it's not going to be a, quote, small investment by anybody's measure. This is a huge, huge investment. So by the fact that they have built a $600 to $800 million facility, they certainly can't move it across the state line just to get someone else's tax advantages.
And I presume that was built by good union companies, Mr. Chair.
I do, Mr. Chairman, I do know the answer to that. Yes, it will be union.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farrelly.
The bill speaks to the question on page 3, sections 5, or sub 5 of section 1, line 12, line 11 through line 21. Essentially, in order to reach the exemption, by the end of the calendar year in which the facility is placed in service, the total cost of the facility must exceed $200 million. At the time the business firm is certified, the location of the facility meets the siting requirements. When the business firm hires or will hire at least 10 full-time jobs by the third calendar year following the year in which the facility is placed in service. So the startup date plus 3 years for the 10 jobs. What I read here. Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Glad we could accommodate your schedule. So we'll let you know if you have any reason to come back. Close the public hearing. Art, did you want to say anything on this bill? Did anyone have any questions for Art on this bill? He's our expert.
Yes, we're just going to get here. Vote for a forum here today.
Good moving. So, good question for Art. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2671. Mazin, nice spending time with you.
Thank you, sir.
You're
likewise,
kidding, right?
Come back again when you have more time, Mazin.
Now, is Bruce out in the hall? We could do 313. If Charlie Ringo and Bruce...
You're not 313, right?
That's the
filming video. What do you want to do to that?
I'll take a walk. Let the yes votes carry it.
Okay, Phil, we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2339.
I want to be in a Mr. Ed movie.
Which end?
I thought one end was already taken.
Yeah.
You're up, Phil. We're on your bill. Yeah. Bring your entire panel up for this bill.
Thank you.
You don't like these principles.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come speak today. My name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Association of Oregon Housing Authorities. We recently discovered a conflict between two existing Oregon revised statutes. Under ORS 456, under Chapter 456, it provides an exemption from tax assessments for housing authorities and their properties that are held under lease or lease purchase agreement. Under ORS 307.112, it places a list of filing requirements and conditions to tax-exempt status of properties held under lease or lease purchase agreement by entities other than the state of Oregon. And what ended up happening was is that as a result of these filing requirements and the lack of reference between the two chapters, the Housing Authority of Portland received about a $65,000 tax bill from Multnomah County. And so during the past interim, the General Counsel to the Housing Authority of Portland brought this conflicting language to the attention of the Law Commission. And due to the relatively uncomplicated nature of this of the issue, the Law Commission declined to do a study, and instead Representative Lane Shetterly, who was then the chair, said, I can pick this up in the legislature and we can get this dealt with. So that's how House Bill 2339 comes to you today. What it does is it eliminates the filing requirements in Section 1, Line 9 by deleting the Housing Authority reference of 456.225. You'll see, I think importantly, that under Section 2, Line 10, it does not roll back the tax bill. In other words, the Housing Authority of Portland is going to pay the bill that it received. And the Multnomah County's Assessor's Office, of course, is okay with that. But what it will do is, finally, in Section 3, Line 12, it removes the Housing Authority exemption language and places it in Chapter 307.112. And this was important to the Legislative Council, as they said, it's the county assessors that need to be clearly aware of the reference or the exemption that exists for Housing Authority properties. So having said all this, we were pleased to have this bill move through the House, and it's important because the tools that are available to creating affordable housing are limited. Sticks and mortar, they cost the same for a private developer or just regardless of who the builder or owner is. But the exemption that's found in ORS 456.225 from property tax assessments is critical to our ability to help provide affordable housing. So with that, we would urge your support of this legislation and appreciate your time at the committee today.
Well, we appreciate your time, Mr. Donovan.
Oh, well, isn't this just a love fest?
Questions or comments?
Why did I just become nervous?
Nobody appreciates your time, Senator. I know that right now.
Thank you very much. Close public hearing on House Bill 239. Open a work session on House Bill 2339.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ringo.
I move House Bill 2339 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ringo has moved House Bill 2339 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Farioli, would you like to carry?
Be an honor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
I lied.
And we will move now to one of our last Senate bills I think we have, Senate Bill 313. Veronica, we know you very well, all of us. We've spent a lot of time. So this is our dash fours. And Paul, do you want to update us just this latest iteration?
Just a couple of things, Mr. Chair. On the 313-4s, the key changes are, in terms of the revenue side, is lines 13 and 14 there on page 1. The Film and Video Office can issue tax credits, but they receive a donation to the fund, but those donations must be at least 90% of the credit. So what this does is allow them some flexibility in terms of making the credits more liquid, but if we do get an IRS ruling that disallows these contributions from being deductible on the federal return, these probably would not be very marketable,
mm-hmm.
because you would lose basically 30 to 35% of the value. So this is really based on the presumption that we will that the IRS will allow federal deductibility. One other point too to make in terms of the revenue impact is right at the bottom of page 3 of the amendments, the section 3 says the act applies to tax years beginning January 1, 2004. And then over on the next page that certification by the Film and Video Office on or after July 1, 2004. I think the committee was looking at this in the context of Senate Bill 79, which had a $2 million allocation from the lottery. Well, the way this is structured now, we're really looking at one fiscal year in which the credits would be available. Therefore, the maximum revenue impact would be $1 million for the biennium, 0305 biennium, and probably somewhat less than that given the time lags it takes for the credits to work their way into the revenue stream.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything? Or
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to say that I think what is before you is a very tightly written bill. There's been a lot of work and research by legislative counsel, by the Attorney General's office, by us talking with tax credit marketers. And I think that we have been able to hopefully see in advance some of the pitfalls that have befallen other similar programs and take care of them in the legislation. So I'm feeling very good about the way that this is written now, and I think a great deal of care has been taken in the way that it was written.
We certainly spent a great deal of time crafting these. Questions, comments were in work session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Move the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 313.
Senator Starr has moved the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 313. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Ready to move the bill, Mr. Chair?
We are. Senator Starr.
Move Senate Bill 313 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Metzger? I'll have Senator Metzger carry the bill. He's been working on this one.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go get Representative Morgan.
Yeah, let's do Representative Morgan's bill. So we'll stand at ease for one moment, and we'll do.
I'm not sure if you stand at ease, the mic stay on.
Thank you very much.
No burping.
No burping. We're talking about lunch. So we'll do House Bill 2283 next. How was your weekend, Madison?
Was very good, Mr. Chair.
Anything notable? Or?
Well, I went to the Blazers game last night.
Oh, you did?
I was able to see him.
Win one.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter was mentioning that every time she goes to the game, she wins, so I'm not sure to take her.
For the playoffs, yeah. Yeah.
Well, didn't manage to get the chalupa.
You didn't get there to get 100 points?
No. Nope.
How high'd they get?
97, 900
uh-huh.
something.
Those chalupas aren't that good.
Well, no, but if you're an, you know, 12-year-old, that makes a big deal out of your great day.
Yeah.
You know? So, and they could have, because they stayed at the 97 for like 2.5 minutes.
Oh.
And that's 2.5 minutes. They couldn't make any points.
Boy, Zach Randall played well. Huh?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
good.
Oh, yeah. That's what you need, young, aggressive.
If that team was playing anybody except the Blazers, I'd be rooting for them. I really like the way they move, they run.
They remind me of the Oregon basketball team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they do you, because they run.
Yeah, they run all the time. They run continually.
Not a real inside game. They kind of struggle with their inside game. They have great guards and forwards. And
yeah, the good news is they have 7-footers. The bad news is they play guard.
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki.
7-footer that shoots a 3-point, right?
Yeah.
And then with the ball.
And he's just a dead-eye.
Is
and
he?
Oh, God, he hit, what was it, 10 of 15 in the second half the other night. Just what?
7 foot.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
only...
And he's shooting something like 71% in the... Maybe it's just the playoffs. Must be playoffs. 71% from 3-point land.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's phenomenal. Exceptional player.
I haven't seen much of that series at all.
I have been very unfortunate. I have seen much of it.
Have you?
I haven't. You know, usually I don't get a chance to watch them and they'll win, right? Every stinking time I get to watch, they lose.
Really?
Except yesterday.
The first game was a good one, right?
Yeah. They've been good games. They haven't been bad games. But this is a team that they beat. Didn't they beat them all 4 times during the regular season or something? Yeah, Portland's just—they need a—they need a psych job. They need to get.
I think Pippen's gone. I think.
Well, that's going to hurt him. I think he was one of the few.
I don't know.
Sort of, yeah.
He was solid.
He's solid, and he wasn't a mental case. I mean,
yeah, he had.
He wasn't the brightest guy.
Upstairs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was into the team concept.
We should watch it.
What are we going to do here?
Opening public hearing on House Bill 2283, Mazin.
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2283, in many ways, finishes a job that was done last session with House Bill 2670A.
This is my golf course, my stinky golf course bill.
Yeah, it's your golf course. And what it does, it exempts from property tax nonprofit corporations which operate simultaneously a golf course and the discharge of wastewater and sewage effluent in the sense that it brings those two functions in the same type of corporation. This has, as I was mentioning in the 2001 session, an exemption for the land was given by 2670, and at this time we're looking at something of the neighborhood of about $3,000 for Douglas County, $3,000 a year to exempt the rest of the structures. I also checked with the other counties to see if there will be an impact on other counties with this new extension of the law. And the only case that probably comes close, Mr. Chair, would be the Crook County. Prineville has also a similar arrangement of that type. However, they don't go into the same type of exemption that they're asking for, because they also lease some of their facility to a profit-making establishment, a restaurant, and so they pay.
So the golf course in Prineville would not qualify. If we pass this, they would not qualify.
They don't intend to use that type. They at this time, they... They have a little different arrangements in that.
They would qualify, but
their arrangements are different.
Okay. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Susan Morgan. I'm a state rep from House District 2, which includes the Myrtle Creek Golf Course. And for those of you that were here in the last session, you probably voted on the first go-round on this bill. This is the sequel. And in the last legislative session, the intent was to exempt the land and the buildings from property taxes, and there was a process put in place where the jurisdictions that received those proceeds had to sign off on this, and everyone did that. And then during the implementation of the bill, the Department of Revenue ruled that we didn't have the buildings correctly put into the bill, and so they would not allow the buildings to be tax exempt. So here we are in the second go-round, clearly adding the buildings to the bill. And the bill was very purposefully drafted in the last session so that it only would apply to the Myrtle Creek Golf Course. There was an issue at that time with the Farm Bureau and being able to apply tax-exempt status to land outside of urban growth. It was a complicated issue. But all this does essentially is allow the buildings on the golf course to be given the same status that the land has. And if I don't have it right this time, I will see you in the next session.
So you feel pretty confident that this really is the buildings on the golf course in Myrtle Creek?
And that's all that it is. It's very narrow. The bill has a very narrow application just to that one golf course. And I think that there may be discussion at some point in the future, because the whole purpose of this golf course is to get rid of sewer effluent rather than putting it in the river. They use it to irrigate the golf course. And that's a whole other issue. All this does is just line up the land and the buildings on this golf course.
You ever played there, Mr. Chair?
I have not, Senator Corcoran.
It's quite an experience. You want to be playing downwind instead of downhill. It's a very tough course.
Well, you definitely want to be wearing waterproof shoes.
Yeah.
I think most golf courses, I believe, do. I mean, they recycle the water, I believe.
Yeah, this is maybe a little different problem.
Well, this one, there's a pipeline that goes across the city of Myrtle Creek from the sewage treatment plant to the golf course.
Oh.
And there are a series of holding ponds on the golf course that they water out of.
To the water.
It's the golf course that I have had the dubious honor of slipping in the wet grass and breaking my ankle on.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Mm.
Did you become a major stockholder in the golf course at that point?
Well, if you haven't ever played on the course, I think Senator Corcoran has. It's hills. There's not very much flat about it. So if you choose to play without a golf court, you get a real workout dragging your clubs up and down all these hills. So when it's wet, and because of the hills, the joke that we have is that we should actually try to talk a consortium of orthopedic surgeons into buying a share in it, because they make a lot of money off of it anyway.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? 2383. We don't have anyone else signed up, do we?
I don't think so.
The other, Mr. Chair, so the local governments have signed up as they were before. The local governments impacted by the tax.
They have all signed off on it.
Okay.
Everyone has signed off. Great, thanks. Close public hearing on House Bill 2283. Work session on House Bill 2283.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
Move House Bill 2283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Corcoran has moved House Bill 2283 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Fisher? Senator Fisher will carry the bill.
Senator Fisher.
Yeah, thanks. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2454. Is that you, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mouse.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2454. It extends a property tax exemption to the property owned by airport districts, or it has been acquired or transferred from one district or one taxing district to the newly formed airport districts. The law for forming airport districts has been on the books for a long time. It seems it has not been utilized much until the last election, when in North Bend residents have formed an airport district. And once that airport district was formed, there was a need, a necessity to transfer the property from the municipal government that used to own the property to the newly formed airport district. However, it seems with the ORSs written the way they were, or they are at this point, the exemption was not explicit enough to allow the airport district to be exempt from property taxation. This bill introduces that explicit exemption, and as it stands, the property that we are talking about is already exempt. However, if a new airport district is formed and this newly formed airport district starts buying new land that previously was not exempt and puts it into the exemption, this might cause some revenue loss. However, at this point, knowing how long it takes and the process, how much is involved in it to form a district, that might not be in the foreseeable future.
Ms. Kirk.
Mr. Chair, I was only here to present some information on this bill, and I don't know that I have much to add.
Gosh, Representative Verger sent a note that it's her bill, and she's not able to be with us.
Well, can we move it then, Mr. Chair?
We could. If the committee is interested in moving the bill, we could certainly just do that.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Would you go talk to him?
I don't want to talk to him.
Well, I've read the bill, and I've read the testimony, and I've read the I have a testimony in my file from the airport manager, or the executive director of Coos County Airport District.
Uh-huh. I've read his testimony.
I can't imagine anybody close to it.
It seems like it's just almost a fix-it. I mean, it's just a minor cleanup of an existing exemption.
Is that your understanding, Ms. Kirk? Just
yes,
up.
Mr. Chair, that is exactly
okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Anyone else need to testify on this bill? It's our last bill of the day. This is your last chance to testify before.
Oh, I'm getting excited.
Miss, how about the report from the Special Districts Association? It's got to be a Special Districts bill.
Get a report. Let's talk a little about PERS.
I noticed Senator Walker's carried a lot of bills today, Mr. Chair. You might want to give the good gentleman to your left the opportunity to catch up.
We're tracking closely on that bus. Open a work session. Close that public hearing. Open a work session on House Bill 2454.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bruce.
I move Starr. House Bill 2454A to the Senate floor for recess recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2454 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Starr.
Certainly.
Pull in our wagon and adjourn the Senate Revenue Committee.